I ask that you'd bless the reading of the word tonight, Lord, and it would go out and into our hearts, Lord, and we receive what you have for each and every one of us as we gather here in your blessed name. Amen. Well, we're going to start in Psalms 36, and it's just going back just a hair to kind of get a little bit of review so we can kind of go on with our study about the light, which is Jesus Christ, of course. Psalms 36, and man, there's so much here. But I don't want to get buried down. So we're going to go up here and read what I got down. Verse 9. It says, "For thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." No other place you can go to, I don't care where or how, all the lights in the world, you can't get anywhere else but in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes up here before, it says, it's really talking about the transgression of the wicked before this. But then you see, if you go down before this a little bit before, in verse 5 it says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are great, deep, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." So this is a good thing. We all know what's talking about here. Now we're going to jump way over to 1 Peter. And we're going to come way back again. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Oh, what did I say? 2 Peter? No, 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter 2, 9. Okay, here we go. So, let's see. It says here, let's go up to verse 7. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." And so there's four things here that I kind of, I don't know, for some reason, I know we've read over these, but it's really stuck out in the four things that he talks about, Peter says in this. He said, first of all, you are chosen. You are a chosen generation. Now think about that. That's, you know, he's talking about the Jews, the generation that was chosen by God and his people. But think about it, to be chosen a generation. That's quite an appointment from God. And then we go in and see the second one, a royal priesthood. So you're a chosen generation, but you're a royal priesthood, which means royal priesthood to me, in my thinking, is pretty high. And I'm thinking that he wants you to just be that priesthood. He wants you to give him reverence. And he really just wants you to know who you are and what is needed of you to go out and preach to the world and just continue his word. Number three, a holy nation. And we see that today, as Israel, we know there's going to be a remnant and all that, but we know that they are a holy nation. God doesn't say the United States is a holy nation or some other country or anything or another continent. He's chosen all this before the foundation of the world. He's chosen them to be holy as he is holy. And then he goes on, number four, a peculiar people. And I just put it, or God's own special people. And then it says that you show forth or proclaim the praises of him what who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you think about that. I mean, we know about the light. We know about we were in darkness. But just think about what it really means. How he's chosen us out of darkness. How he's chosen us out of the wrongdoings and the corruptible in the corruptible ways of our heart. And our heart was dark. We were dark. Our vision was dark. We didn't have the light in our eyes. We didn't accept the light. And so out of darkness into his marvelous light, man, I don't know. You just got to think about that. I read this and I just kept thinking about his marvelous light. How marvelous is it? We don't know. We don't know yet how marvelous his light is, but it's marvelous. And he's faithful. God is so faithful that he would even put up with us over and over again as we fail. But you know, God just wants us to love him, worship him, follow after him, give reverence to him and his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so let's turn back to, I don't know why I did it like this, but we go back to Psalms. There's a reason, I think. Psalms 43. I think that's just the way it kind of came out. So that's where we're going to go with. What the good Lord gave me. Psalms 43, short one. I know we probably had this not too awful long ago. It's been quite a few months, I guess, now. But so let's read this. We're going to read the whole thing. I'll make comments on it. 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles or their tents. He said, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. David has a way. And my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. I love it. For I shall yet praise him who is, or yet praise him, the health of my countenance and my God, or the help of my salvation and my God. The Lord, this is a wonderful psalm. I mean, it's so short, but man, it packs a punch. And so it starts out with, judge me, O God. And then David pleads my he says, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. I ask you, does it sound familiar? Yes, it does. That's what we're living in now. It's always been that way since the fall. And you always have a choice. And I love David because he's talking about how he wants God to deliver him out of the deceitful and unjust man. And think how he was, man. They were all after David for a while. And I'm sure when he became king, they were still after David. And there's probably a lot of them that they were deceitful and they were unjust. But he always goes for the art. It says, for thou art the God of my strength. He knows where his strength is. He knows where to go. And then he asks a question, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So he's having a little problem with the deal here about the enemy and why this is going on. But now he says, so something must have happened when he was praying to the Lord. This is what came out. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. And that's really what we need to do. We need to forget about the ungodly and deceitful and unjust people around us, because otherwise if you get involved with them too far, that's where you're going to go. I don't care whether you didn't want to or not. If you start following them and Satan can get you directed to the unjust man and to this darkness, even just a little bit of darkness. He's very subtle. He'll get you little by little into this way. And I believe that's why David, he knows. Send out thy light and thy truth. Thy light is thy truth. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. God, the creator of all things, He's not unjust. He's perfect. He's our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And so when I read that about the, He'll send out the light, that's just fantastic to me. And so we're going to look at this first verse. It says, I'm going to give some definitions here. It says, judge me. And it simply means to vindicate, exonerate, absolve. Verse 5, it says, disquiet. And I looked these up because I couldn't quite remember. I know dis means not and quieted, right? So I tried to put it together from English class, which I didn't do very well in. And I couldn't really, so I said, I'm just going to look it up. So I looked it up, and it really just means make uneasy, restless, agitated, or it could be just simply disturbed, okay? Because this bothered David, right? He knew where he was to go. He knew who God was. He knew his hope is in God. But he still, see, Satan still brings this thing into you, you know? And even, you know, he brings it even sometimes, he kind of disturbs you when you're talking to the Lord. He tries to butt in. Really, I mean, I think so. And you can't get your thoughts into things around you. You need to say, as it says, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my salvation and my God. That's what we should say every time, right? Help of my salvation and my God. This should be the cry or attitude of our heart. You say, my God. And we were just talking earlier, you have to make it personal. If you're not reading this Bible and you're not praying to the Lord and you're not getting personal, then you're not going to get it. I mean, he's going to give you some stuff, but you really need, he wants you to be personal with him. He wants you to be one-on-one with him. He don't want you to be part-time here, part-time there. No, you have to make a commitment at some point in time. And I think it's just precious how he does this. And also the cry of our heart, do you cry out to the Lord? I do. And sometimes I don't even know where I'm going with when I'm crying out to the Lord, but I'm just crying out to the Lord. It don't matter if I don't know what I'm really crying out to the Lord about. I know I got a problem, something's going on, but I know my God knows, and my hope is in him. And that's a simple thing. You just have to hope in him and trust him. He won't let you astray, I'll tell you. It says, so let's go, now we're going to go down to John. And we're going to go into John 1. Now everybody knows this, okay? We know this is pretty well. But there's a lot in these verses, and we're not going to go through all these because we've been through them a while back, and I think everybody really understands a lot of this. But John 1, 1 through 9, I'm going to read them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we all know what that is. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Now John didn't know he was going to do all this, but I'll tell you what, he was chosen, and he did what the Lord asked of him. He said, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And some people get confused here, thinking that all men through him, that's John. He just is here to bear witness of the light. He's to go before and prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come along. And he's just trying to get people ready so they know who this man Jesus is. And really, you go back from Genesis on, you should know who Jesus is. Let's go to, where did I leave off? Okay. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I'm going to stop there. Now, everybody understands, so I'm going to go back to 4. This really actually caught my attention really a lot. Because I know about the Word was with God, and God, he was made flesh, which is Christ. But it said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Pretty straightforward. And I just find it amazing that so many people, even in them days. Of course, I suppose in them days, some of these people that looked around at him probably thought they was all nuts. But God and his just infinite grace and mercy and his love for mankind, he's still trying. He's bringing his son in. He's going to be the light of the world, and he's going to be the true light. And unfortunately, number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But the world, as time went on, because of Apostle Paul and different ones, Peter and John and all these different ones, Luke and everything, all the chapters in the Bible, they all spoke about Christ. The relationship that he had with his Father in glory and how he left glory to come all the way down to raise us up. And so it's important. There's a lot to this. If you add it upon layer upon layer or line upon line, it builds into quite a relationship with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a solid relationship, which we know. So verse 4, so this is what I got out of it. I got Christ's life. Christ is that eternal light or the living light for all men. All men, it says, not just some, all men. So everybody can come to the light. John 3:15. This is a long ways. I don't know why I put so many in here. We'll go down here to John 3:15. So we know this pretty well. It says, 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I want to say this, that people really have, I don't know, they struggle with that. Think about what he's doing here. Think about what this says. He sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but through him the world would be saved. And then 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. How great is that, right? That's good. You believe on him, that's it. Simple. Believe in Jesus Christ, you're not condemned. You're saved. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They are more happy to be in the darkness and the evilness of their minds and their hearts and their wicked ways, you know, thieves, murderers, whatever they're doing. They come out of that pit of darkness and be able to come to the light and accept Jesus and never be condemned from that point on. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. It's amazing how this is printed out and how it's all laid out here for us. And I just don't understand. If a non-believer did anything else but started in John and read this from in this third chapter and just would even sit and just study on this, just meditate on what this has said, this little bit here, they'd accept the light, accept Jesus, and not be ever condemned again. That's just the start, which we all know. I want to go read something for a minute here and I mean, this Bible, I tell you, we battle. Isaiah 49:6, I'll just read this, unless you want to go over there. Let's see. Of course, this is talking of Israel. Verse 6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and it's to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. You know, it amazes me here too, that he's talking to Israel, because it says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One. But up here in 6, he talks to Israel, and he said, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. So he's telling Israel that, hey, I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus, and he's going to be a light, and he's going to be to restore the Israel and show them what's going on here. And then he tells, I guess, and I may be wrong here, I don't know, but what I see out of this, that he's willing to talk to them, show them the light, which is Jesus Christ, and then also let them be a light unto the Gentiles, Israel, right? And so we're still trying to figure out, and I'm not here to judge anybody. Israel has some problems, of course. They live in a very rough neighborhood, if I dare say. And so a lot of them, you know, a lot of them still don't believe. And I guess when it comes to the end, there's going to be a lot of them that are going to die because they just don't believe and accept it. But there's going to be a lot of Gentiles too. So, but I enjoyed that part of it. I should have read a whole bunch of it, but I didn't want to get burdened down. But let's go back to John. Okay, John. Let's see where I am. Oh, that's kind of crazy. Okay, John 3. So in John 3, we see that also, verse 5, it said, where was I? 5. Oh, I didn't even read that. Let's see, where am I? Oh, never mind. We already read that. I want to go to 1 John. Got lost here for a second. 1 John. And we want to go, and this is kind of referenced back to John, the portion we read there from the 3rd verse to the 21st verse. 1 John 1, 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested into us. They're testifying here what they've seen, and what they know. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with who? The Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So they're saying, hey, we've been there, we've seen Jesus, we know he's the Word made flesh, we was with him, he's God's Son. You have fellowship with us, you're going to have fellowship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And then he says, and these things write we unto you that what? That your joy may be full. Now, if you go somewhere and it's a night, things going well, do you want to just have a half of joy? Do you just go somewhere and get happy? And okay, that's enough. It's half. Can't go past half? No. You want the only way your joy, any joy you have, be full is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then let's see. Okay, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and him no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Pretty obvious. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us all from sin. I mean, 1 John is wonderful. It just go on. It just ties it up. What they saw, what they know. They know. They know what they saw. And they're telling you, hey, we know. And I bet you a lot of them just said, hey, you guys are nuts. And then let's go to, let's go back to John. Should have told you to hold your place there. I'm going to read John chapter 8. And then I got one more verse and we'll be done here. Chapter 8, let me see, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 12. And this is talking about Jesus and the adulterous woman. And I don't want to get into that, but he says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then he goes down to tell the Pharisees. And I read this. I was thinking of putting this in, but it's pretty long. But I read the rest of this, and I was getting a kick out of how Jesus was. He was just kind of twisting them around there. They were kind of twisting the wind there. But he knew what they were thinking. He knew what to say to them. And they just got hung up and said, well, where is the Father? Where is thy Father? I guess I can't believe why they didn't know that, but they were just so bullheaded about not seeing that. And it's pretty plain. He tried to make it as plain as he could. And then I want to go to John 12. And as soon as I get to 12:35. The people answered Jesus in 34, so we have heard of out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness know not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. So he's telling something important. Hey, he's not going to be here much longer. And you need to accept the light and really know the light, and you need to walk and stay in that light. And let's see. So I read all that, and I got one more verse, and that's 2 Corinthians. And we're going to read verses 3-7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Right? Because it's not really hid to the ones that have the light and know the truth. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's a lot there. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a lot of light right there, I'm telling you, man. There's a lot there. Verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure. See, it's a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all because of our Lord Jesus Christ and what we know. Because the glory of God. And I was thinking about the glory of God. It's so rich. I was thinking today, I was reading some scriptures, and I was thinking as I read along how enriched we are to not only know the light, walk in the light, but to know what the Word says and how the Holy Spirit enables you to enrich. We're to be enriched. God wants to give us all that he has. And I think that's a richness that you just can't imagine. We can't imagine here. We will know it there when we get there, how enriched we truly are. But if you stay in the light and stay in the Word, you'll be truly rich. You just can't go wrong. And I feel that, too, that sometimes a lot of even believers, and myself at times, don't really realize the simplicity, but also the depth of the enrichment that we're enabled to have because of Jesus Christ, okay, and our Father. So I just say, I hope you think about it. It gives you some thoughts or whatever. But to me, I was just thrilled to get into that part of it. And next week we'll have some more, and it may be towards the end of all this, and then we'll go on to something else.